Wake-Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it was Game 7 of the 1997 World Series on this date. That's our Throwback Thursday for the day. College football. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. For a job you'll love, visit progressive.com/careers. Also, bundle home and auto and save, visit progressive.com. Jerry Palm, CBS Sports, joins us here on SportsMap Radio. How are you, my friend?
I'm all right. How are you?
Well, I'm going to ask you, Big Ten guy, Michigan's this sign-stealing scandal, is this a big deal? Is this a no deal? Is it something? Because I don't know. I keep getting more information that's all speculative, but then I don't know what the end result will be.
Yeah, I don't know what the end result will be either, and we won't find out for several years because, you know, it's the NCAA. Unless the Big Ten does something.
Yeah.
Actually, to me, what it is just another example of Jim Harbaugh's casual disregard for the rules. You know, it's just, you know, he was in trouble over something stupid. In fact, something that's not even a problem anymore or not against the rules anymore. But he lied to investigators about it. And then he gets a 3-game suspension. Now, this on top of that, it's, you know, sign stealing in and of itself is not against the rules. And I don't know how you would ever prevent it in game, you know, when you're facing an opponent and looking right at their sideline. But I liked Deion Sanders' comment about it. He said, you can mail me your game plan. We still have to execute.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, if you're that much better than us, it doesn't really matter if we know what's coming. And he said, as opposed to baseball, where if you tell me I've got I'm going to see a curveball, I have a huge advantage. So, it's really, I don't know that it's so much the act as, you know, just the brazen nature of it. It made no effort to conceal it, although it still, you know, came up in some sort of audit, I guess. But yeah, it's just the casual disregard for the rules. That's all. That's the thing that I don't want to say it's a hallmark of Michigan's program, but it does seem to be part of who Jim Harbaugh is.
What I'm trying to wrap my head around is, this is where I'm getting a little confused, is because, you know, obviously I get it. In the world of college athletics, if you give a kid, back in the day anyway, if you gave a kid a burger, it was like the whole, your opponents or your rivals
right.
wanted you to shut the system down. Like it had to be closed.
Well,
right? Like, everybody loses their mind.
Coincidentally, that's what got Harbaugh in trouble the first time.
Right, exactly. If this is just a, look, 1994, we made a rule. You can't send scouts to games. It's a cost-cutting maneuver. Other teams can't afford it. We want to make it a fair level playing field. If that, in the end, is what is the breach, does it warrant the conversation of, well, now they can't compete for a national championship? Is the sign-stealing aspect of it that big of a deal?
Championship anyway. That's part of it. And part of it is just, you know, the extent to which they were going to do it.
Yeah.
And then part of it is it comes on the heels of another problem that they just had. So it's not just one thing.
It's a couple of things,
but
right?
It's not going to affect this year's team. Nothing unless the
right.
Big Ten
it shouldn't right
gets involved. No. It's not going to affect this year's team. Yeah, I don't actually have a problem with that. It's just you know, Harbaugh got in trouble for something stupid, and now they're getting in trouble again for something stupid. Not that the rule is stupid. The disregard of it is stupid. This is a stupid thing to get in trouble for. Why are you doing this?
What are your thoughts? Let's go to something else. It's something else that's been catching college football, and that's Deion Sanders in Colorado. What is your feeling overall about either all the attention? Maybe it's a little overboard, but it is exciting and it is newsworthy, and it's getting the clicks that it wants. Is it too much? Are we doing a little too much Deion in the first year?
I understand the appeal. Right? I mean, how often do you have pro football Hall of Famers coaching in college football?
Right.
And he's a guy with a big personality. So that also attracts attention. And that can be good and bad, although I don't think it's been bad mostly. I mean, it's probably been good mostly for Colorado and for college football. I mean, he hasn't really, you know, Deion hasn't done something that would make you think, oh, he's going off the rails here. He just speaks his mind, and he speaks it in a kind of flamboyant way. And I don't think it's bad for college football. It doesn't seem to be bad for Colorado. It was inevitable that it would get this much attention. I don't think it's necessarily too much, but at some point you want to see the product on the field, and the product on the field is about what you would expect from a first-year coach taking over a program that's rebuilding, and in fact, it's probably a little bit better than that, even if they don't make a bowl game this year, which is entirely possible. It's still an improvement, and they have something to build on, and, you know, that's I just think it's, yeah, he was going to get this much attention anyway, and I don't think it's bad.
Did you think he created the seismic shift in the way coaches now have to approach building their team? He did it a huge way with the transfer portal. Do you think other coaches follow, or do you think they go, no, I like the balance of the recruiting from high school and transfer portal when it comes available?
Okay. Deion is different. Deion is going into kids' living rooms or dorm rooms at other schools or whatever as a NFL Hall of Famer.
Right.
A guy who has done everything you can in the NFL. So as a player, that's a lot different than, you know, the Matt Rhule at Nebraska trying to do the same thing. Matt's a very good coach, but you know, that's, you know, makes him one of dozens, you know, but there's only one Deion. So I think he's really the only guy who could have tried to do what he's done. But, I mean, it didn't turn this program into a national champion the first year, right? It's turned them into competitive. But, you know, so it was a bold move. I don't know if it had the splash he expected or the results he expected, and it's not over yet. But he's probably the only guy who could have done it because of who he is and what he's done in his football career.
When I look at the top teams in college football, one does stand out. Oh, Georgia, I get. Michigan, I get. Ohio State, I get. Florida State, what kind of turnaround has this been, and where did it start?
It started at least 2 years ago. Mike Norvell was in danger of losing his job.
Sure was.
And they picked up some players in the portal. Some really good players in the portal, added to pieces. I mean, Florida always had some level of talent, but they weren't terrible. They just weren't playing to the level that Florida State expects a program of their nature to be at. So he added some pieces that, you know, were some pretty good pieces, and especially on offense, and, you know, as juiced it up a little bit, and now – and it helps also that Clemson has come back to the pack a little bit. But it's now Florida State is the best program in this conference, you know, this season. And they have a chance to go to the college football playoff. But it came with small changes, but with big pieces coming in. Not a lot of pieces, not like what Colorado tried to do. But, you know, go and fill some gaps, especially in the transfer portal, and, you know, fill some holes. And they did that, and it's been pretty successful.
As far as the SEC goes, people are looking at it as a down year. How do you see the SEC maybe from the middle top to the middle bottom?
It's been a down year. There's no question. I mean, Georgia's still very good. But even Georgia doesn't look like Georgia of the last two years. They killed Kentucky, the only team they played, I think, that has more than two wins. It might be a three-win team in there somewhere. And they played an FCS team this year instead of, say, Oregon as part of their non-conference schedule. So their strength of schedule, I mean, everybody rips Michigan duly. But if you look at strength of schedule rankings, Georgia's way below Michigan, even with Kentucky on the schedule. So we just need to see more from Georgia. And Alabama doesn't look like Alabama, you know, all caps Alabama. But they're still very good programs. They're still very good teams and could still win a national title, one of them. But the league as a whole, once you get past, say, you know, Mississippi, I mean, usually you'll see like five or six teams in the rankings. And what do you have now? LSU, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia. I don't think anybody else. Is Tennessee still in the rankings?
Yeah, just down the bottom.
But they're not crowding the top 10 like they usually do. Yeah. They're crowding the bottom. And it's the program that's been the pleasant surprise is Missouri. who's done a nice job. Drinkwitz has done a nice job with this team. They've got some bigger tests ahead, but so far so good for them.
Yeah, it's funny because Florida and Georgia are playing this weekend, and like Florida could be in first place with some games left, and they're not even ranked, which is a weird thing for an SEC division leader.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Jerry, good stuff as always, my friend. Thank you for joining us. We'll catch up with you soon.
All right, thanks.
You got it. Jerry Palm, CBS Sports, on a Progressive Guest Line. We'll come back, get you a little more on Thursday night. Oh, we got to get a little bit more into the World Series as well as Arizona and Texas. Ready to duke it out on Friday for Game 1. Again on Twitter, @TonyDRadio, @RonCulver. That's Ron with two N's. It's Wake Up Call.